May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be now and always acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Doubt. You've heard the warning, if it sounds too good to be true, it likely isn't. This is a good proverb to have in mind when a phone call comes saying that you have won the lottery, especially when you have not bought a ticket. Or when the weather forecast is for a warm spring day, when you can take a picnic out to the park and eat it socially distancing from other people. And then you open the window blind and look at a snowstorm filling the yard. Yet there are times when the announcement of something too good to be true may cause us to doubt, and then turn out to be true. This happened to Thomas, our twin. Thomas is my twin, your twin. When we doubt the veracity of something God has done in the life of those who are closest to us, indeed, in our own life. As we heard in the gospel reading, Thomas, whose nickname was Didymus, which means the twin, was not with the other disciples on that first Easter evening. Where was he? We're not told, but let us pause a moment and think about how Thomas might have been feeling that first Easter day. How would you have felt that first Easter day with the strange story reported by the women who had discovered the empty tomb? Confused? In disbelief? A too good to be true story? Then there were likely ensuing heated discussions in that upper room amongst the disciples as they tried to make sense of what was reported. It would be impossible to find a quiet spot in the house where the disciples were gathered. Impossible to quietly pray and meditate on what you had heard. One would need to get away from it all. Go for a long walk. Go to the Mount of Olives, where you'd last listen to your beloved Lord as he spoke to you. Thomas had left the hubbub and gone away for some quiet time. When Thomas returned at nightfall to the gathered group, he found that his friends were dramatically changed. No longer were they having confusing, heated discussions. Now, as one, they were bubbling over with the astounding news, we have seen the Lord. He was here just a little while ago. The doors and windows were securely locked, and we were wondering where you were and what we should do next, when suddenly the Master was standing right here in the middle of us. We all stopped talking, staring at Jesus, amazed. Peace be with you, he said. And each of us felt a great calmness envelop us. It was overwhelming. But then he showed us his hands, and we could see the nail wounds. And he showed us his side, and we could see the wound where the soldier had thrust in his spear to make sure that the Master was dead. Some of us felt we would faint. It really was Jesus, raised from the dead. And then the Lord spoke again in a soft, clear, reassuring voice. And he told us what we are to do next, and that we will be empowered by the Spirit of God to accomplish what the Father has planned for us to do. Wow. Sorry you missed this extraordinary moment. Mary Magdalene's report is true. Thomas looked at the joy-filled faces of his friends and shook his head. Then Thomas spoke. I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side. And ever since, Thomas the Twin has also been known as Thomas the Doubter. You and I can empathize with our twin. The crucified master raised from the dead. Wishful thinking, self-delusion, the denial that is part of grief. We know from our own life experiences of how a stranger in a crowd can suddenly make us think of a person whom we love dearly and who died. But for a moment we think, they're alive. There they are. And then reality returns. And we know that it is not true. Thomas wanted to believe, but he knew that his friend's experience was impossible. Too good to be true. 8 days later, as we heard in the gospel reading, Thomas's life dramatically changed forever. Thomas's journey of faith and belief is neither foreign nor uncommon in a Christian's journey. This is especially true for the followers of Jesus who have not seen him, who have not met the risen Lord on the road to Damascus, who have not walked on the road to Emmaus with a stranger who seemed very familiar, who have not heard their names spoken in a garden in a deeply loving, compassionate way. And yet, they have taken the witness of others as honest and true, and built their daily life based upon the fact that Jesus lives, and because he lives, they will live forevermore, forgiven and blessed. Jesus says to us what he said to Thomas. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. With Thomas, we reply, my Lord and my God, and join the other disciples and the women who found the tomb empty in proclaiming, the Lord is risen. Hallelujah. Amen.